You are listening to a very technically delayed episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes a Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there goes a Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Welcome fame, he's ignored. Action is his reward to him. Life is a great big bang. Wherever there's a hang, you'll find a Spider-Man.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and you are not listening to, in fact, the DC Universe podcast. You are listening to the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel. It's been a long night, I'll say
that.
Yeah, statement.
I am your host, Ben, a.k.a. The Marvelous Iggy. Joining me, once again, is Phil Yurick, our news expert. Phil, say hi.
Hi. And look, I'm not saying all the technical issues are because the black guy is back. I'm just saying that, you know.
And, of course, that very familiar laughter. Joining us to talk about the trailer that broke the internet this past, Thursday or Friday? Taser, welcome briefly back.
I would just like to say that, one, it's John John's fault. Notice he's not here tonight. Two, D-Cups! There you go.
No, D-Cups, if you want, go to MarvelCity.wordpress.com. It's not coming back. It's not coming back. Okay, let's just get right into it. We got a new trailer for Marvel Civil War. Now, before we jump in to the actual thing everybody's freaking out about, let us talk about the trailer itself. And I will say this about it, in that instead of the Stamford event, which kicked off Civil War almost 10 years ago this May, guys, which is hard to believe. Yeah, 10 really? Years ago this May was Civil War. Yes, I remember, because it was the first Marvel comic.
Yeah, it was 2006. I remember, yeah, that was the year I got into comics, too.
High five for 10-year vets, Brian. So pretty much, instead of having the Stamford event like Marvel had last time, like the comics had, they're basically using the New York invasion. They use the attack on Washington, D.C. of Hydra taking over. They also use the Sokovia. Interesting enough, they didn't use the London incident, probably because that was, I would say international, but they used Sokovia. So what are you going to do?
It's called bad writing.
So,
seriously.
Yeah, well, they're ignoring it. Or, like, maybe that's just the trailer they showed, and maybe they'll show all the incidents. Basically, all the things the Avengers, Jenna Ross is showing. That, look, all the things, yeah, you may have done good, but just like that Ultimate Batman question is, you brought the crazy along with you, you know, if you were, sort of playing that politician angle of it, that, like, you are doing more harm than good, which is interesting. Jim Rhodes might die?
Jimmy Rhodes.
Yeah, because, I'm not gonna lie, it would be pretty bullshit of Marvel to kill a black guy, while simultaneously...
fully fitting within the Hollywood contract. You replace a black guy with a black guy. Rid of War Machine, they're picking up Black Panther. It's just like on Walking Dead. They replace a black guy with a black guy.
Yeah.
See, I'm not making that up. They bring in a black guy, they get rid of a black guy. They brought in a whole bunch of convicts when they hit that prison. They got rid of T-Dog. And then they bumped off all of those convicts, and then they picked up Maurice, whatever the fuck, the whiner. And then...
No, you're right. If it happens, it happens. Maybe it's a fake out.
I don't think he's dead, though. I think he's just hurt and, you know, he got shot down.
Critically injured. Because he takes a shot to the chest. And another thing. again, like, we talked about this last time, Taser, before you ultimately semi-retired, where that, like, you can argue that the friendship between Cap and Tony hasn't really been there, considering there's only been a handful, like, two movies they've really been in together, so you really haven't seen that friendship. You know, this is a thing where movies can't do, where comics can explore a relationship between two characters over the course...
Right, I agree.
Exactly. So, but fuck if I'm not telling you, Downey Jr. is selling that emotion. Like, he's making me believe, especially that one shot when he goes, so that's it, we're over. And that look of pain, that look of, to quote Andre Blackner comedy, where he goes, it's like, anybody who's ever broken up with somebody or been broken up with somebody, you've seen or made that face. And it's like, oh, like, totally, like, more, like, I know this is Chris Evans' movie. This is Chris Evans' movie, or it's supposed to be his movie. But god damn, Robert Downey Jr. is giving the performance of his
like
life.
He's saying he's selling the butt hurt.
He's selling the butt hurt, yes. He does, like, he's selling that emotion. Black Panther, looking badass as always. I can't wait to see it. Also, it looks like we found, it looks like the trailer kind of gives a hint on why he's involved. It looks like either Winter Soldier or somebody manipulating Winter Soldier causes, to attack on the Wakandan embassy, because you do get a really quick shot of Black Panther, Chadwick Boseman, I believe that's his name.
That's correct, sir.
Out of costume, in embassy building. So I would assume that's his reason for siding with Tony. So there's that. Oh, and some nobody named Spider-Man showed up at the fucking end, but who gives a shit about that? I'm going to be cynical for a second. I really wish they didn't show him. Because, yeah, we've kind of known, and it's surreal that he's actually in here, and that line he says is damn well perfect of, hey, everybody, kind of like nervous, you know, like, I'm home. You know, he's home for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, man, I'm here.
I just simply wish that he was, this reveal was in the movie theater and you didn't know. Similar to the Vision, how they showed, like last year, they showed the Vision off at the end, and I said it in a commentary of Age of Ultron, MarvelZZ.wordpress.com, that it would have been cool to go into the movie not knowing about that, and then boom, there's the Vision. And yeah, we've kind of, you know, we've been heavily hinted that Spider-Man would have been in there, but we had no idea the role he was going to play. It was a cool trailer, it was a cool moment, but it kind of ruins a cool cinematic moment. Like, you're in the theater, you don't know what's going to happen, and then, so that happens. So, I'm a little salty about that. I would have rather that they have not shown him, not from, just wait to show that. So that means, you know, again, trailers show everything these days. I mean, freaking Terminator Genisys showed that John Connor was the Terminator in the trailer. So, and there was no other twist. So I'm thinking Marvel has something else up their sleeves, other than Spider-Man. But who knows? He looks great. The Ditko eyes. He looked like, at least in the face, he's Steve Ditko. But I've talked about enough. Taser, you're a special guest technically, so what did you think about this one?
I like the fact that he's the only one actually wearing a costume, with the possibly the sole exception being Cap. Everybody else is wearing a piece of armor or some type of legitimate suit that does something, not just a straight up costume that doesn't do much beyond simply be a colorful piece of identifying clothing, you know? He's also the only one that wears a full-on mask, you know, aside from the Iron People and Ant-Man and, you know, fucking Black Panther. He's a bright spot. He's, and I'm going to dip over there into the distinguished competition, he, in this movie, could end up being what Superman should be in his own fucking movies. A bright character. So.
But they like the dark and gritty. They like the dark and gritty.
Fuck them. Anyway. Don't fucking care. They don't fucking get it. But, you know, it's giving people what they conceive and what they want. And what they want is dark. because people, you know, they have no light and joy in their souls anymore. So anyway, I liked how they pulled this off. They literally saved the best
underoos.
That was awesome. Although I'll agree with you to the extent that I don't think they should have shown him. What I think should have happened is they should have shown him saying underoos and then Steve finding his hands webbed and the shield pulled out of his hands. And then,
and that's it?
Yes. I would have done
that. Would have been great. Yeah, I would have been happy with that. Yeah.
That would have been – I know that I would have pissed off too many people by doing it that way. But by doing that, I think
you acknowledge that he's there without showing
exactly,
that he's there.
and it puts you ever so steadily right there on that knife's edge, if not pushing you off for people who are, you know, debating whether to see it or not. Yeah, that's just, you know, right there. I don't know. Yeah, I think it could have gone well that way, but for my money, I'm glad I saw it. You know, there's nothing about what they did that I hate. Yeah, maybe some I might have done a little different, but nothing at all that I hate or disliked. I'm on board 110%. I was telling Bri before we started rolling, before I would have seen it like opening day, having seen that, midnight showing, that's just how it's happening. Midnight fucking showing. Don't fucking care. You know, I will jack a motherfucking seat at an AMC theater. And, you know, if A-Train hears this, he knows exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking, get the fuck out of here. It's mine. I'm here to see Spider-Man. Yeah.
Spider-Man.
And can I also say this? Captain America is approaching Blade in regards to the first movie and the second movie being excellent, excellent sources of, you know, comic book hero, you know, hero hits the movies. It hits that tier where it was Superman, Blade, now Captain America, because unfortunately Iron Man flubbed it a bit in Iron Man 2, and then we hit 3. And knowing what we knew about 3, I wasn't that eager to see it. It kind of did that with X-Men. Every superhero movie that hit a 3 kind of flubbed it in 3. This doesn't look like it's going to flub at all. You know, this looks like it's going to go doom, doom, boom, you know? So, yeah.
We'll have to see. The movie's not out right, yet, though, because you can cut a good trailer. Man of Steel had good trailers, and a lot of people did not like that movie. So, I just put that out there. Good trailer doesn't mean it's going to be great. Agreed. A bad trailer doesn't mean it's going to be bad. Looking at you, Ghostbusters. Sorry, I call out Ghostbusters.
We can talk about that afterward.
Brian, give your thoughts on Spider-Man.
Yes, yeah, Phil.
Well.
Also, the fact that J.K. Simmons won't be reprising his role because he's Jim Gordon now.
Why can't he do both? That's kind of dumb.
Because he's playing. Because they probably have him under contract. That's probably why.
I would not. Okay, never mind. Continue.
Well, as you gentlemen know, I mean, I'm not the biggest advocate of Spider-Man. You know, he's never been one of my favorite characters. So the reveal of him, I was kind of ambivalent about. I'm just kind of like, I guess that's kind of cool and stuff. I was stoked to see more of Black Panther show up. That is definitely something I'm looking forward to. You know, some more, because all we've seen so far is him in the armor kicking ass and stuff. And also, fucking Ant-Man riding the fucking arrow into Tony Stark's face was just awesome. That is the kind of stuff I want to see in an Avengers flick. So, I'm stoked about that. I mean, as far as Spider-Man goes, with Tom Holland, I think is the kid's name, who's playing Peter Parker this time around. You know, Spider-Man will speak for itself, really, in the film. I mean, to me, it's sort of like he might as well have not even been there anyway. I mean, it was a cool moment, but I'm not really banking on it being a big, impactful thing for me, because there's so much other stuff going on. That being said, I will be interested to see how they use the character, if they keep him on Tony's side or if they go for the classic Civil War, this is wrong, Tony, you know, 11th hour side swap thing, which, you know, we'll see if that happens. But as of right now, it's really sort of a non-factor to me. I'm already hyped up to go see this flick. I'm already banking on seeing the premiere before the early release. So, you know, this didn't really affect me much. But that being said, to see Spider-Man in the same crowd as Captain America and Iron Man and Hawkeye and Black Widow and shit, that put a smile on my face. You know, he's finally back home where he belongs, I think, goes a long way towards making this movie just that much better for me. It's like the icing on the cake, really. So, nothing really bad to say about this, but at the same time, while the inclusion doesn't mean a whole lot to me, I know what it means to the larger MCU and what it will mean to the whole storyline, so I'm excited for that in that respect.
All right, then. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait, hold on.
I think Civil War.
I think what? John Gunn would say, ooh, Earl, this movie, I want to see it. Oklahoma, go Hoosiers. Yeah, want to see
Hoosiers
it.
Is Indiana.
Sooners. Hoosiers is Indiana, you.
It's the same thing.
You freaking Yankee.
It's the same thing. Ooh, yeah, want to see it. There you go. I gave
Which, by the way, that movie was incredibly racist, but that's neither here nor there.
What, Hoosiers?
Yeah.
Why? Because it had white people.
Don't you
playing
dare
basketball?
Badmouth Hoosiers.
No, because
all right, that's it. Brian.
A white privileged school as the underdogs of that story, going up against the inner city black school.
Well, they are.
To be
you
fair,
know that most white
I mean,
people can't play basketball compared to. Let me stop. I'm not gonna say.
At least by that point, you're right. By that point, you're right.
I'm just saying.
Black people be hungry when it comes to the basket. I'm not gonna say.
Well, I mean, go watch some. They made a movie about that came
Hoosiers?
Out almost 10
was
years
it
ago.
Hoosiers?
No, not Hoosiers. No. It's a college basketball movie about University of Texas at El Paso. They were the first all black starting rotation
play
against Kentucky.
I know what movie you're talking about. It was
It's a good movie. It's a good basketball movie.
And you
it's a really
saw the
good
back,
movie.
The back back politics, and they were arguing about where to play, and.
Exactly.
You have one school that's like, well, it's supposed to be our turn. They're like, yeah, but you know, it's
and also like they're coming in like they're young black kids coming into Texas, which that's not at least back then. Well, parts of it now, I'm not gonna deny that. Like back then, it was worse. Of like, you want to send a young black man to play basketball in Texas? You crazy? But we're not here to talk about that. That's for a commentary later on. So let's move on to Taser. Are you gonna be sticking with us for a little bit, or are you done?
No, I'll stick around. You need a bit
right.
of idiocy.
So
John John's not here.
let's move on to the next bit of news. We got potential more casting for Iron Fist. What do we got?
Yes, indeed. As the controversy, quote unquote, continues to spiral out, we received alleged new castings for the show, new series regulars, and. Despite the fact that, as expected, usually they go under a pseudonym and they call for a phony name or whatever, the alleged key to this is as follows. First character is named Devin, 25 to 30 years old, male, Asian, East Indian or Pacific Islander, handsome, effortlessly powerful, an intelligent, thoughtful warrior. And please note, if talent has martial arts training or experience, is preferred. Second character is Christine, 25 to 30, female, Asian, New York, toughness mixed with a businesswoman, savvy, a good heart but with many secrets. Please note again, martial arts training preferred. Third character named Walter, 30 to 35, male, Caucasian, intelligent, and insecure, business official. And fourth character named Jody, 25 to 30, female, Caucasian, highly educated and compassionate. Now, according to the sources came from, the key is as follows. Devin is Davos, a.k.a. the Steel Serpent, longtime Iron Fist foe. Christine...
These are all, like, code names, so people... They think people won't figure it out.
Christine is...
Like, that's... Like, for example, if you don't know, like, Star Wars, when they started shooting... I want to say it's Return of the Jedi. They called it Blue Harvest, or Return to Blue Harvest.
Blue Harvest.
New Hope is Blue Harvest? Okay. This is, but you can't fool us.
No, sir. Well, remember, this is all just alleged. Nothing confirmed or denied, but they're not going to confirm.
Yeah, they haven't even confirmed the casting of that guy playing Danny. So
allegedly.
Yeah.
So
I mean, Entertainment Weekly reported it, so it has to be somewhat true.
Well, we'll see if they follow through with it or not. Where was I? Right. So Devin is allegedly Davos, a.k.a. the Steel Serpent, a Iron Fist foe. Christine is allegedly Colleen Wing, who is more known
for
hire, I believe. Yes, nice. Indeed. Yeah.
Right,
partner of Misty Knight, who we... And we are getting Misty Knight in Luke Cage. We'll talk about Luke Cage in a bit.
Misty Knight as played by Simone Missick, who's going to be popping up in Luke Cage first. And now here's
the Cocoa Puff here. That's all I got to say.
Here's where it gets a little bit deeper cuts of Iron Fist lore. Walter is allegedly going to be...
Lee Kung.
No.
Damn.
Walter is allegedly going to be Ward Meacham, brother to Harold Meacham, responsible for Wendell Rand's death, and uncle to Joy Meacham, who is allegedly going to be Jody. So, apparently, what we can take from this is that not only will we get a dose of the Kung Fu and whatnot, but also be getting Danny digging into a bit about his father's murder, I suppose, or death, rather.
Well, I guess if they're going to make it that way, but considering he kind of went insane on the side of a mountain.
Yeah.
I'd rather they do that.
His father didn't go insane on the side of a mountain. His father was killed.
Well, it depends on what version you read.
Oh, right. I forgot that most recent one that you guys read that was like, wow, this is fascinating, which completely rewrites...
Are they going to go with he was murdered, or are they going to go with that he went crazy for fun? It looks like they're not going with the crazy thing. If this is to be true, they're going to go with he was murdered.
I hope so, because I wasn't a fan of that. I didn't like the fact that they had to make up daddy issues for him. You know, that just felt false.
Because they think every Marvel character has daddy issues because that's how Stan Lee wrote them.
Hold on. Go
look at them.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Iron Man? Captain America?
He has daddy issues.
Captain America.
He had an absent father. I guarantee you he has daddy issues.
What, Captain America?
Scott, look at Ultron, his son. Of course he has daddy issues.
No, he is the daddy.
He is the issue of daddies, yes. I mean, freaking, Scott has daddy issues. I guarantee you most of the X-Men have daddy issues.
Well, yeah, if you're looking at Xavier as the daddy, sure enough. Especially if you're Cyclops. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But I you remember it when we had to read it. It was just no, I wasn't.
I only read the first issue. I never read anything beyond that.
Neither did I, because I wasn't reading that complete. It was tripe. It was tripe and contrite to me, and I wouldn't do it because it felt false. You know, it was like that reboot and tossed in a whole bunch of pathos and angst and shit, like when they redid Flash. Just before Flashpoint. And oh no, my mother was killed by my father and then he died in prison. And I don't know how any... Oh no, look, it's Reverse Flash. And it never happened before, but it's a matter of fact. You know, fuck you. So anyway, yeah, that was it for me. Fuck that. And if they don't do that, I'll be happy. If they do... I'll get through it, but I won't be happy.
You're never happy about anything. Brian, what do you think?
I'm excited to see Steel Serpent show up. How he connects to Madame Gao from Daredevil, I would like to find out, because, as we know, her drug was called Steel
Serpent. She's the Bride of Nine Spiders?
Yeah.
That's what she is.
Well, if she is, I mean, that'd be cool. So, I would like to see him, because, you know, I'm also a fan of Fraction's run, as are you, Iggy, so that'd be cool. Seeing Colleen Wing show up, her and Steel Serpent add some diversity, which apparently this thing still needs, so I'm not mad at it, but, you know, a lot of the smaller roles, you know, don't really hit me until I see the program. You know, like a lot of the other characters on, like Jessica Jones and stuff, just didn't, you know. So, I mean, their casting, we'll see who gets the role, because that's really how I judge it, based on who's getting the role, not what the role is. Because the role can be so many different things just based on the source material and whatnot. So, I mean... I don't know. It's difficult to say. But I will say that I don't hate the additions, so I'm all for it. You know. But how that pans out, I'll wait for a cast list. So.
All right. Well, let's move on to the final bit of news, referring to the Netflix universe of things. And that is Luke Cage, because apparently we got an official Unofficial release date for Luke Cage, which is a fucking long time away, but not as long, about as long as between Daredevil and Jessica Jones last year. So, what do we got? What is the official release date, Phil?
September 30th, 2016.
So, that's it. No shocking. I'm honestly, that's really far. I was expecting Luke Cage, considering they started filming in the fall of last year. I was expecting a maybe not May, but June, July at the latest. The fact that it's coming in September is a little odd to me. And I'm gonna summarize what West on the GLCMB said. And it's like, that means we're not gonna get Iron Fist till 2017. And at that point, we'll probably get a Jessica Jones season 2, because we know, I think that's been greenlit too. That's only me, is like, that's a long time. Like, it's a 13-episode series about a dude with unbreakable skin, and you're not going to do anything more effects-heavy than you did with Jessica Jones, so what's the holdup?
Oh, no, it probably will be more effects-heavy, because you're looking at two different types of stories. Jessica Jones was decidedly a psychological, you know, melodrama involving a woman who had powers. I don't think we're going to get that type of story with, you know, Iron Fist. So we'll probably get...
Or Luke Cage.
Daredevil.
Well, we're talking about the time between Luke Cage comes out in September and Daredevil comes out in 3 weeks. That's a long time between shows.
I think that's probably as it needs to be, though. You know, I mean, considering, look what they're doing. They're producing the shows all at once and then releasing it, hoping to recoup investment.
They started shooting last October.
See, but that's what I'm saying, though. Again, and still, they're not getting ad dollars from this as the show runs. They're putting all the money up front to get the show done and then looking to recoup on the back end, you know, hoping that, you know, subscribership will go up and, you know, whatever the fuck. So them doing it this way, while I agree, I would like to see it a lot sooner than that, I'm not surprised that it will, you know, probably take that long. You know what I mean?
All right. I think it's a little too long. I figured you want that July hit, and then maybe in November, December. Because Jessica Jones season 2 hasn't even started shooting. We don't even know any details on that one. We know it's going to happen, so...
That July.
The timeline looks right now.
Where you're tapping the vein like, yeah, man, I need that hit, man.
No, I need my Daredevil hit. I need my Daredevil hit, because Jessica Jones is a show that I had to struggle to finish. And I talked about it versus, like, I just watched House of Cards in a week because I could not put it down. But I hope Luke Cage is better. I hope Luke Cage has that addictive feel where, again, not necessarily themes, but just that addictive feel, like, I need to know what happens next. After a while, the only reason I finished Jessica Jones was because, like, the fucking podcast. I could not... I didn't want to finish it at a certain point. I just, like, fuck it, let's just do this. Any final thoughts on this, guys, before we move on to our book of the week?
Yeah, when they do Luke Cage, please, one of two things. Please give me him in the old suit. Even if it's a costume party, please.
If you get that, you're gonna bitch about how it doesn't look like it. So I'm just gonna say no.
Lies. Oh, okay, but even if they don't do that, give us the butt sex scenes with Jessica, please. Just one good solid butt sex scene. You know, something where they're in bed and you just hear her go, "Ow!" You know, so we know
that's happened. Yeah. That's not necessary.
Yes, it is.
Yes. All right. Well, let's move on. Let us know what you think about all the Civil War trailers, Spider Man.
We were gonna talk about the X Men Apocalypse posters.
They look cool. Oh, yeah. Well, quick note on the X Men Apocalypse posters. Olivia Psylocke. Oh my God, she looks so good. Apocalypse looks menacing. Archangel looks cool, although his arm looks like the way his position looks like his arm is missing. I like all of them look, and I think. Yeah, I would have liked more color in the costumes, considering it looked like they were going that direction in First Class. Considering they're fighting a war against Apocalypse, I'll deal with the armor. You know, the X-Men movies outside of First Class have never done anything traditional comic wise, so I wasn't anybody was expecting it to do now. You know, don't get your hopes up, but I like it. It's cool to see the X-Men. that I'm familiar with, even though I've enjoyed the movies that we weren't familiar with in First Class, so who knows. But overall, Apocalypse, just get here. That's the most anticipating movie of 2016.
Actually, you know what I'm looking forward to in that movie? I'm looking forward to when the Power Rangers come and fight Ivan Ooze.
Now there's a reason why you're in semi-retirement. All right, let's move on to our individual to our book of the week, which is Brian. Give us the title for the individual for the review, please.
It is The Infinity Entity, number one, written by Jim fucking Starlin. Yo.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And art by Alan Davis.
Oh, really?
Yes. Wow. So just to give some. Preface it, because the issue says it in the issue gives you a note. This takes place between Jim Starlin did two original graphic novels that concern Thanos, I believe, or if not this sort of world. This takes place between those two graphic novels. So this is an in-betweener. So I suggested it because I saw Jim Starlin's name on the cover. I saw Alan Davis, so I figured who doesn't want Starlin in their lives every now and then? So we picked it. It basically focuses on Adam Warlock as he's now, quote, like, he saw the Big Bang, and he saw the universe rebirth before him, and he knows some shenanigans are going down, and he actually meets the old Avengers, like the original Kirby Lee Avengers of, you know, and they look like they're 60s versions. You have Iron Man in that big, hulky, the gold suit.
That was just the repaint.
Yeah,
the gold one. It was the lead suit repainted gold.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then you had, you know, Ant-Man and the Wasp. Basically, Adam Warlock basically says, you know what, I need help. There's something going on. I need to go help. So I'm going to go to the Avengers. The Avengers don't know who he is because at this point in their history, they have never met or heard, let alone, I don't think any of the Avengers have traveled outside of space with the exception of Thor at this point.
No, this is the Avengers early days. This is the original lineup with Thor, Goldblum, yeah, exactly. Iron Man, Talking Hulk, and then Ant-Man and Wasp and shit. So
it's a lot of inner monologuing with Adam Warlock, and it's a lot of sort of him. He was fighting the Avengers, or the Avengers start fighting him because they don't know who he is. And the greatest moment in this issue was when I'm trying not to sneeze. Was when he basically, he's not giving in any effort to the fight, and all the Avengers are going all gung-ho on him, and he just palms Thor's hammer and is like, no, how do you not remember me, man? We've been together forever, man. Don't you know me, man? You know? And then he realizes, comes to the conclusion that, like, these are my Avengers, but these are also not my Avengers in some weird way. You know, time travel fucking sucks. So, it's an interesting part, but I don't know if I would appreciate. I liked it for what it was. I like the Alan Davis art. Especially, he works best on these old, like, doing, like, retro style. You know, it's nice seeing the Kirby, those original designs, and not trying to, like, update them and saying this is the Avengers like circa 2001, because technically the Avengers would have been created in 2001 at this point if you like follow the Marvel timeline scale. So it was cool to see though that those costumes, those versions, that Hulk, the Hulk who's just salty about everything, and Thor who's just like, I'm not putting up with this green monster anymore. But I think I would appreciate it more if I would have had context for. And he gives enough. He tells you what's going on. There's a preface that tells you what's going on. But I think I would have gotten more appreciation of it if I would have read those two original graphic novels. And because it's Starlin, I'm going to go read those eventually. So I'm probably not going to pick up the next issue because I will wait till it's collected and then read all three stories in one go. So that's probably how I'm going to do it. But I give it a 4 out of 5. It was interesting. I want to see where he goes next, but I'll have to be a long time, a decent wait before I see where he goes next. Brian, what did you think of this issue?
I thought it was okay. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't know. I feel like it wasn't written for me, if that's kind of weird to say. Just trying to think of how, because it came off very monologue-y, very wordy, very, you know, old school. And that's not, by any stretch, a bad thing, but it just seemed to drag on for me. It seemed the issue was just longer than it necessarily was.
Long in the tooth?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I really don't know. I just, don't get me wrong, I'm an Adam Warlock fan for as much as that goes for. Classic Avengers, fine. I'm not really sure what to take away from this. You know, maybe I'll get a clearer picture as the series develops. But as of right now, I'm just kind of left like, okay, so we got that, and why did we get that, you know? I mean, I understand that it's supposed to be built up around this whole Thanos stuff. I don't know. I wasn't digging it as much as I thought I would, you know? And that's not a knock against Starlin, but it's just, I don't think it was the right read for me, because I just didn't... I don't know. I mean, the build up to the next issue seemed like fucking where the in-betweener comes out of fucking nowhere and is like, you must be eliminated. And he's just kind of standing like, what, really? Why? I didn't do anything, you know? I thought that was funny. So I'm willing to give it another issue to see how the story develops. But as of right now, I'm just kind of left going, meh, you know? I mean, I don't know. It was something about it just didn't click with me. So, you know.
All right. Yeah, that's. Are you gonna pick up the next issue, or are you gonna pick up
I would pick up the next issue.
The other graph.
I would pick it up the next.
Okay. All right. I look forward to hearing your reports, Phil.
Yeah.
Hint, hint. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
Obvious shifting of the eyes.
Yeah, I get it.
All right. There you go. That's our individual. John's not here, and Taser's not here to review the book. So. Let's move on to individual reviews. First of all, let us know if you picked up the Infinity Machine.
I didn't.
I already forgot.
The Infinity Entity.
Let us know if you picked up the Infinity Entity, or if you have read the other two Starlin original graphic novels that he's been doing. Yeah. But let's move on to individual reviews. I have Doctor Strange number 6, the End of All Magic Begins. Last issue was sort of like, we're fucked. This issue continues, we're fucked. It's Doctor Strange sort of on his last, you know, uses of magic. He's bewildered. He's tired. He's running out of options. The Imperial has basically overrun everything, every bit of magic. How the panels are laid out, it really reminded me in Final Crisis a little bit, where it would occasionally flash to it would show very vertical panels of various pieces of the world being attacked in Final Crisis. In this instance, you saw various places of magic being under attack, Wendigo Mountain, Weird World, all the places of magical that hold magical specialty in the world. And it's just an all out assault, and it's just from this scientific Imperial crawl. We don't know who they are yet. We don't know. All we know is that they're basically an Inquisition to remove all the magic. And that Earth, of course, is the most heavily infested. They use the term infested, which I thought was interesting. That's the way they look at magic. There's a lot of great fighting, a lot of great action sequences with this. This is just fantastic. It's putting. This, you know, is putting Doctor Strange on this epic scale where it needs to be. You know, it's giving, this, it's not an event, because, actually, funny enough, it's getting its own miniseries, I think, after this. So, you'll be able to follow the main story after this. And then you'll have, the current series that will, do the main story. Then if you want to see how the other forces of magic are fighting against the Imperial, they're going to have a supplemental series with it. So I think that's interesting that it warrants a spinoff book, or at least a spinoff miniseries, because I'm pretty sure it's not going to be run longer than the arc. But Jason Aaron's killing it. I love his characterization of Doctor Strange. Chris Machado is probably the best artist on Doctor Strange since Steve Ditko, and there's been a lot of artists on Doctor Strange over the course of 50 years, but I can't think of any other person who's doing Ditko but not aping Ditko. You know, that sort of weirdness, that sort of oddity to it, but it's not doing straight up Steve Ditko replication. So I find that interesting. And it's a really epic storyline. And it's always interesting to see the hero sort of get their ass whooped, and then, whatever they have to do to win is always fun to me. I mean, I'm a wrestling fan. That's the nature of why I watch wrestling. So, and I know Jason Aaron, the writer, is a huge wrestling fan, so I wouldn't be surprised if that doesn't have some influence as well. Also, Dr. Strange with, like, bleeding black eyes is the creepiest, one of the creepiest things I've seen. Just, like, something so unsettling. Especially how Chris Bachalo draws it. But yeah, Dr. Strange continues to be one of my favorite books. I know I didn't name it the Best Picture. Ultimates was that award, won that award, but Dr. Strange is just delivering each and every month, each and every time. I wouldn't say month because it's something that's coming out this week, but each and every month that it comes out. And I look forward to seeing how this arc all ends and who are the Imperial Kroll, what are their goals. I mean, obviously, we know what their goals are, that it's to rid magic, but, like, why? What caused it? There's something had to have started it. It's just damn good comics. If you're not a Doctor Strange fan and you want, like, a primer before the movie comes out, we don't know anything about the movie yet, but I would say try this one. This is an interesting take. And now we will go over to Brian with his review. All right, and I know he's not here, so I'll just edit this out.
I didn't even notice that.
All right, Brian, come on.
Back. Sorry.
All right, well, perfect. All right, I'm going to count you in.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Okay. And I will be reviewing All New Wolverine, number 6, the conclusion of the first story arc to that series. If you've been reading it, you know X-23, now Wolverine, Laura, has been helping 3 genetic clones of hers fight back against Alchemex Genetics, who are the ones manipulating them, et cetera, et cetera. You know, classic Wolverine stuff. So this issue culminates with a final assault by the 2 remaining sisters and Wolverine on the base of Alchemex, and it's a shoot 'em up, stab 'em up, kill 'em all fest. It's a fun time. And we get more legitimization of Laura as Wolverine in this, as she has she actually has Maria Hill's phone number, it's shown in this one, which is shown to be something that only Maria Hill says only 8 people have the number. One of them's dead, that's being Wolverine, and she got it from Wolverine, so again, further added legitimacy. And also, there is a bit of a backstory with the 2 remaining sisters, Bellona and Gabby, who are trying to track down and personally execute the chief of security, who is sadistic and torturous towards them and whatnot. And Gabby pleads with Bellona not to do it, not to kill him, to take the high road like Laura, be a hero, and this, that, and the other thing. But she doesn't have it in her to do so. And so she basically just says to Gabby, the youngest of the 3 and the last one to have any real innocence, that she has to go now after killing the chief of security, because you know what the deal was and that we could have done without her, explicitly avoiding names and whatnot. And it ends with Wolverine, again, putting a call into S.H.I.E.L.D. and having them raid the facility and take it down and stuff, and she personally threatens the good doctor who would run the project.
And that was a very Wolverine moment.
Yes, it was. It was a very good moment where it's just, I know people like you because you try to control people. We're not people to you. We're objects. And Laura comes close to killing him herself, but she doesn't. And then Gabby comes close to killing him herself, but she also avoids the temptation and sort of goes with Laura into this brave new world, you know, free of any, you know, restrictions or shackles or what have you. And later we find Bellona being ferried off by Chopper to someplace else, basically that she was helped in this facilitation of the demise of Alchemex and the freeing of Gabby and her sisters. And it's revealed that her secret benefactor is none other than Kimura from the old X-23 series. Kimura? Mura? Mira? Something like
that? Yeah, I didn't know who the fuck that was. See, this is the one criticism I have about this, is that, and this is with comics in general, whenever they do a last page, and if it's like, I should know who this is, but because this is a new series and not everybody's just like me who's familiar with X-23's backstory, it's like, who the fuck is this?
Right. Well,
that's if you know, it's a great moment, it's powerful, I'm sure, but it's like, It felt weird, that's all.
No, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And after a quick Wikipedia search, I find out that Kimura was the original handler and enforcer of X-23 when she was at the facility, which is where she was born and raised and all that stuff. And she was severely abusive and tried to track down X-23 after the fact to try to bring her back to the facility and da-da-da-da. So, you know, classic antagonist. She's sort of, I guess, in essence, the Sabretooth to Laura's Wolverine, I guess, in that... Always sock.
Hopefully it's not the same dynamic, because
not really,
that shit got...
but in terms the antagonist constantly after you, constantly nagging you, it's the closest you're going to get, you know? So, I guess in that respect there is that, but she is essentially X-23's big bad, and they're building this up as a head-on collision of X-23 meeting Kimura again, but this time now she'll have Bellona in her corner to back her up. And Gabby knows about her, too, and has purposely said nothing, so how that will fall out remains to be seen. But
you lied to me?
Yeah, right? That's, no kidding. That's clone of X-23? Impossible, right? I really enjoyed the close of the first arc. It did a lot of cool things, helped set up Laura's dynamic with Gabby and the going forward, helped set up Bellona as a possible recurring antagonist, as well as Kimura as the big bad of the series. And also, it's just really consistent, good writing and illustration by Tom Taylor, I believe it is. Tom Taylor, David Lopez, and David Navarot, who were the artists on this one, the co-artists. And, you know, just a really all-around enjoyable look.
Also, I'm pretty sure it's David Navarro. I'm pretty sure the OT is like R-R-R-O.
Oh, is it? Okay, yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I'm sorry,
I'm white. Yeah, right. It's just really consistently good stuff. I am perfectly fine with this being the Wolverine series. It's here to stay for at least a little while. And I'm looking forward to Laura's further adventures and see how Gabby factors in and how Bellona and Kimura will come back, etc. So, honestly, I'm really digging it right now. I give it a 4 out of 5. Easy. And
yeah, this has been go ahead.
No, the overall arc mirrors that as well. I give the overall arc a 4.5 out of 5 total. It's been very well.
Yeah, it felt like a one big action movie, honestly. Like, you had a lot, like, it felt like it was scripted, like an action movie fit to a comic page, if that's odd enough. Like, you had big action beats, you had some emotional character development. Like, it was just a really damn good characterization of Laura, especially if you had never, outside of that last page of the arc, you felt like if you had never had any connection with her, you would understand who she is. Based on this arc, and like, this is a great, and she looks great in that costume, and she is Wolverine, you know. Yeah. It's cool. I look forward to, I hope she teams up with more characters also, but apparently she's broken up with Angel in the, or like Angel broke up with her.
He said that you know,
he can't do this anymore.
Yeah, pretty much he can't take watching her die over and over again, which, to be fair, I mean, yeah, it's kind of like a PTSD thing, I would think, and you're watching your girlfriend die.
So,
you know, but that's, I don't think, they're closing the book on that, hopefully the next issue. They haven't got around to it yet. It'll be in the next issue of All New X-Men, so we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, so really, it's just good stuff. I'm really digging it so far. I really enjoy it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of the Mighty Warriors Tomorrow podcast.
I have one question.
Jesus Christ, could you let me know you want to say something before? Type in the chat. What do you want?
When does old man Logan come back?
He's already back. He's been back.
And does the Marvel Universe at large know that he's back?
He's on the main... He's on one of the big X-Men teams.
Okay.
Yeah, he's on the
X-Men team. He's there. He's... Right? He's just there. It's just that X-20 or the new Wolverine is like running a different thing. Like, she's with the alt. She's with the younger X-Men who are not with those X-Men.
Does she know about him?
Not that they've made reference. They're crossing over soon, so she's gonna know about him soon.
Oh, okay.
So not her book, but the X-Men book she's in are crossing over for an Apocalypse 3-part event.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more than 3 parts, but. They're all crossing over, so I'm sure she'll find out that indeed a version of Wolverine is alive.
Cool.
So, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to this episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. As always, leave us a review on iTunes and follow us on Facebook, which Taser does. I'm going to keep saying it because I'm going to believe it's true. Does an excellent job of keeping up our Facebook stuff.
John Jones,
follow us on Twitter. Yes, John too. And And also follow on Twitter for all new up when episodes go live. That's where they are first posted. They're probably going to go up like late Tuesday night because that's when I edit them, and I just don't feel like I just feel like publishing them right then and there. So when you wake up that morning, if you subscribe to iTunes, they're either already there, or when you check the website, they are there as well. So by the time you're ready to go to work, hopefully, or whenever you're doing your shift and you have Wi-Fi, you can download them there. So that's why they've been going up earlier than usual. Now for my shit that I plug. Twitch.tv/Inky2814. Come there for all the streams. Just today, as of this recording today, I streamed the second half of my Mega Man X playthrough with the Buster Only run, which was successful. It was difficult, but it was successful. So go check that out. Head to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/BigIron2012, where all of this stuff all my Twitch channels gets uploaded to YouTube in like 15 to 25, 30 minute chunks. So if you can't make an entire stream, they'll be on there as in individual parts, uploaded over time. So there's that. Also head over, follow me on Twitter at MarvelSiggy for all updates that I do. And then thegreenlanterncore.com for all my reviews and all things Green Lantern related. I think that's it.
So, I want to give a big shout out to Gus Chicken Souvlaki. I forgot his name. Gus, you know what I'm talking about. The guy who runs Silver Age Comics over there in Astoria, Ditmars. He just celebrated his 25th anniversary. So big ups. He says I don't give enough props. So Gus, there you go. And I also want to give...
Congrats, seriously.
Yeah, really, you know. And I want to give a big thank you to the people who've given us upvotes on Minds, because I've been posting our show on there, and we've gotten a few likes. Hopefully they'll check out more. I have to post more, but they love the Deadpool. You know, they loved our Deadpool review, so thank you very much.
Excellent.
For that. And I do have to post more on Reddit, because I've been a little lax on that, but I do have to post on Reddit. But we get likes from there, too, so... How you doing, guys?
Thank you, Reddit. Hi, Reddit. I don't go to Reddit, but I will check it out now.
Reddit has
that.
Porn.
I can just go anywhere I want for porn. So.
It's like a better version of Tumblr.
I don't go to Tumblr.
Bri does.
Yeah, I do. I actually had to unsubscribe to Taser because of certain things that came across my dashboard when I did not reblog them. So you
didn't like the boobies. It was nice boobies. It was edible boobies and much darker stuff.
Yeah, it was. It was.
I
believe the technical term is hardcore. I believe is the word.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, thank you for listening. Hopefully this goes live after the technical fuck ups we had. Well, you won't know about that. Hopefully. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, come back next week. I'll say this one more time to tell the Taser.
D cup.
Agent Carter.
D cup.
Agent Carter had a season 2.
Yes, hey.
You that tomorrow? I don't remember hearing anything. Well, it's not coming back next year, so haha. If you want D cups, head over to marvelousiggy.wordpress.com. Dragon and I and Kuhan.
And,
as of this week, we did a commentary for Superman Returns, and next week, the week of Batman v Superman, our Man of Steel commentary comes out.
Head
which
over
I
there
think it's
and
our,
demand it.
Our,
we want D cups.
D cups isn't coming back. I have too much shit to do D cups. So if somebody else wants, if putting this out right now, if you want to host and record a bi-weekly D Cups podcast,
I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about for Superman Batman.
I will do it. No, then I'm not doing it because I'm gonna do a commentary for it in 6 months anyway. So you just wait till then. Just wait.
D Cups.
Anyways, thank you for listening. Y'all have a great time. Bye bye.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man.
Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there, there goes a Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Wealth and fame, he's ignored. Action is his reward to him. Life is a great big bang. Wherever there's a hang up, you'll find a Spider-Man.